And here's a guy who barely made it under the wire because he was at work. Steve and Liz are here. Steve, thank you. Is it April? Is that how you say your last name?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Steve, where'd you drive in from? You were at work somewhere?
I was in Manitowoc this
morning.
Manitowic. And how long? Okay. How far is that from here?
It's about an hour and a half.
Don't ask him how long it took him to get here. Speed.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Good to know.
I made it with about a minute and a half to
air. That's all you needed. That's right. If you're within 2 seconds, we're good.
Right. Liz, nice and calm. Deep breath.
Were you okay during this whole thing? You were waiting, right? You were like,
yes, I was waiting. We had clinic this morning, so we've kind of just been like in the area killing some time.
Got it. Now, okay, let's explain. First of all, you mentioned clinic, so we'll have to get to that. And that you're wearing a t-shirt that says Bone Marrow Mom, which I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Cameron. Now, how old is Cameron?
Cameron is 6.
Okay. And is he your youngest or oldest?
He's our oldest. We also have a 4-year-old, almost 5.
All right. And everything was fine, right? I mean, everything was going good. And when did this occur?
Yeah, so we, I guess, kind of back in January, we noticed some things that weren't totally right. Cameron had been sick on and off for a while, starting January to March. But nothing abnormal. Normal kid going to school, getting a cold. He'd get better for a couple weeks, then he'd get sick again. And just kind of drummed it up as the normal winter seasonal sickness. And then we were actually all up north as a family in end of February. And Cameron got sick again. And on the way home, my parents were like, hey, you guys got to take him in. You know, you guys have been going back and forth to the walk-in clinics for the last couple weeks now, and I think we should go to Children's. So we got home. We never unpacked. My wife took Cameron down to Children's and got some blood work done, did some chest x-rays, and she called me and said, well, he's getting admitted to the hot unit right now. So my parents came over, watched Harrison, and I came down here with Liz, and we were here for 5 days, the first stint. And he had a bunch of tests done and found out that it was aplastic anemia. So that was a whirlwind from going from a family together, thinking everything is totally fine on a Saturday, to being admitted on a Sunday to a life-changing illness that was life-threatening. So it was, you go from normal to your world is upside down and
in a very short amount of time.
Right. Yep.
And what are you thinking during all this?
Well, like you said, we didn't even unpack from up north. I went from his truck to my vehicle, and I took him right to the emergency room. And I was like, we're not leaving until we figure out what's going on. And some of that blood work came back, and they're like, you know, all of his blood counts are down. We're going to admit you. We need to do some more testing. Couple of different things. He could have leukemia, or he could have some sort of bone marrow failure.
What were you thinking when they said that to you? I mean, you went from thinking
he had a cold,
right? I was
just like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we had just gone through a traumatic blood draw. And for a six-year-old, it was very traumatic. So now we have to put in an IV, and we have to, you know, go up to the floor. And I didn't know where we were going, or I didn't even know probably where to tell my husband to get my vehicle.
Yes,
so
right.
I was just kind of in shock. But when they told me leukemia, it could be that, that really hit me. And yeah. I called him right away, and the waterworks just started from there. So, you know, we sat down with a fellow in the oncology unit, and she kind of explained it. And they were talking in terms that you could understand. Coming from a little bit of a science background, I could kind of understand it a little bit better. But even for the layperson, just taking you through all of those options and what they were going to do.
It's intimidating, isn't it? Yeah.
It's intimidating, but they do such a good job of explaining.
Right.
And I got my brother on the phone, who is an ER doctor somewhere else in another city, and he was able to listen in, and they were super accommodating and waiting for him, you know, communicating with all of us and just taking the time that we needed. And so that emergency room experience was quite something, but they were super accommodating and helpful and just making sure that we understood everything that we were facing, even though we had so many unknown answers.
So what was the next step for Cameron?
Well, we got admitted up to the hot unit, which is the hematology oncology transplant unit, and he needed to get a lot of blood work done to determine. And then the next day, I believe it was, we had a bone marrow aspirate. So they put him out for that, and they went into his hip bone to take some bone marrow to see what it was looking like at the source. Because when you go into the bone marrow, that's where you see all of the, where it's all coming from. So if you're taking a blood draw, that's, you know, farther down the line. But if you're going actually into the bone marrow where everything is produced, then you can kind of see better what's actually going on. So I think it was, so we got admitted on a Sunday, and by Tuesday we knew that it wasn't leukemia. So we felt very blessed in that sense, but we knew that there was still something else going on. And then they continued to look at that bone marrow sample and determined that it was severe aplastic anemia, which is a form of bone marrow failure.
And so what had to be done?
So we were here until I think Thursday that week, and they said at this point we're just going to kind of wait and see. There's a bunch of more tests that have been sent out for more analysis, and we knew that it was life-threatening. So, but throughout that course of the first 5 days, we felt very comforting knowing that we were in the right place. And everybody we talked to outside of the hospital were like, you're in the right spot. And we never once second-guessed, you know, Children's here in Wisconsin. It was one of those things where you pack up and you go home knowing you're going to come back and trying to understand what the bone marrow process looks like. How do we get a donor? Who is it? Is it myself? Is it my wife? Is it our youngest, our four-year-old? So we went home that Thursday. On Friday, we took a DNA sample of Harrison, our youngest, our four-year-old. We sent that in, and we waited for the results to see if he was a match. We got the results back, I think a week or two later, that he was a 10 out of 10 match.
Wow.
And he was very excited.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
He actually was pretty excited.
Yeah, well, he's four, right? So, and he knows he's going to help his bigger brother. Yeah. So
we were I actually swabbed him at home before Cameron got discharged because we wanted to just get it going right away, and just explaining that we're going to see if maybe you can help your brother to get better.
And
so,
he wanted to. Yeah. And he was able to.
He was able to. He, throughout the course of the next couple of weeks, as we got things in line, we try to explain it in terms of a four-year-old, mm-hmm. that your brother is sick and there's something in your body that can help him, you know, called bone marrow. Well, he thought we said bows and arrows.
So he's four.
It's a bow and arrow.
We went with it that he was going to give his bows and arrows to his brother to fight off all the bad people in Cameron. So
it was super
special that, and he loved it, and he loved to be able to help. You know, from there we waited until I think it was April 4th. He was admitted on that day. It was a Monday. Tuesday was the start of chemotherapy. He did chemo for 4 days through Saturday. He had a rest day on Sunday, and then on Monday, Harrison came in for the bone marrow transplant, or the harvest. And he was a little nervous at first, but he played a joke on Dr. Margolis. He was hiding when he came in to take a look at him right before the harvest, and I think he was hiding underneath the bed. So I think Margolis was looking around, looking for him. He thought he was in the bathroom or walking around. And he was in the room. He was just hiding. So
Now, everything worked out. He's okay now?
Everything worked out well, yes. We still come into clinic. Last week was 3 times a week, and we're down to 2 times a week now. So
that's good.
He's had a couple of really good lab results. So they considered him fully engrafted at this point, which was very exciting news at the beginning of this week to be considered fully engrafted. We still are waiting for some of those blood count numbers to go up, and we still have a long journey. Can't go to school for a year. Checking in to the clinic very regularly. And, you know, just trying to keep him from getting sick because he doesn't have the immune system that any of us have. So,
and so you guys make that trip from Slinger down here for two times a week, as many times as you have to?
Yep. Which to us doesn't seem so far. I mean, we know that there's a lot of people here who move their whole lives to get their kids better.
And you would gladly do that if you needed to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But we're just fortunate to have.
Very, very fortunate. We always said that, you know, driving by here, we're so lucky to have such a great place like Children's, and we hope we never have to use it, and here we are. So. Yeah.
So you'd never had any experience prior?
No.
We have you know, friends and family that have come here for different things, and we never had to until we needed to. So to go from a perfectly healthy family to being like well inversed into children's in the matter of, you know, 24 hours.
I was going to say, it's amazing when you think about yourselves. Think about the two of you as you were still up north with your family, and Cameron wasn't feeling well, and what you know now relative to his condition. It's been a whirlwind, but it's pretty amazing how well versed you are and what the direction is of his life and what needs to happen. And it's all because of all these caregivers here who explained it and give you a plan of action and a course of action that is doable.
Exactly.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the bone marrow transplant team, Argolis, the nurses here were awesome. You know, when you take a six-year-old and you put him in a room and there's a different person coming in and going all the time, they always came in with a smile, and he never felt like he was alone. You know, between, you know, having somebody at home, our four-year-old at home all the time, my wife and I kind of, we switched off. So we'd come in the morning, and then we'd switch vehicles basically with our youngest child. The other one would go home for the day, and we did that, you know, for 4 weeks. But Cameron always felt like he was with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, the times that are tough when they're doing, you know, blood draws initially, or, you know, pick change,
dressing
or
change.
Dressing change. The caregivers,
the child life specialist.
That Cameron absolutely loved. So when they would come in the room, his life was like the greatest ever, because they were so much fun with him, and they always made it so it was enjoyable. And that was that was enjoyable to see him smile throughout this whole process. And there were times where it was tough, but there still are. But he likes coming back here. He's not scared to come back. He knows when he comes here, he's going to feel better when he leaves. So that's very rewarding.
You said that in the past you had driven by and you guys talked as a couple, like, aren't we lucky to have this here, right? Because you hadn't had any experience with it. Now that you have had an experience with it, can you sum up what it means to you or what this experience has been like for you and your family?
I mean, it's scary at first when you come in and you have no idea what all of this means for the rest of your life. And they just make it so that you can understand everything and you can take as much time as you need to understand it. I never feel like I'm rushed with a doctor or nurse practitioner or anything. They're always so willing to educate you and make it the best experience possible. We had a rough clinic visit a couple weeks ago, and they didn't make us just go home. They got somebody from psychology, and he came in and talked with us and worked through things with us. So they're working on the spot. They're working ahead. They're, you know, they have a plan of action. It's so well planned out here that you never feel like you're being left alone. I mean, everything is just there for you whenever you need it.
And there are things here for you that you didn't even know you were going to need, and they have it.
Exactly.
And then when it comes up, it's like, oh, you guys had figured that out already. So
exactly. Like, I mean, social workers, you know, getting us grants and helping us with the communication between the school and everything.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thank you for making it in time.
Yes.
90 seconds to spare. That's all we needed. It worked out well.
Thank you.
We appreciate you sharing the story of the boys, too. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Give it up for these guys. They did a great job. Steve and Liz, thank you.